Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee, and tonight I've got the whole gang back. Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View is on. Hello, Brittany.
Hi.
Oh, no. Sad Eeyore. And you heard Meredith laugh. That's Meredith joining us back again at MK on Sports. Hello, Meredith.
We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
I'm glad that you guys are both here tonight because I'm sad. Are you guys sad?
I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm just tired.
That's so tired.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Just this whole Brown season, I think it's been more emotionally exhausting than anything else for so many reasons. Like, there has never been a more talented team that has been so underwhelming. Yeah. And then there have been some of, like, a little bit of off the field drama creeping up, which we thought we got rid of when Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry took over. But, you know, there's been some off the field drama throughout the season, and now the Browns have been hit with COVID, like, really, really badly, because last year when the Browns had a mini COVID outbreak, it was isolated to one position group. Like, we went into a game with no wide receivers, which sucked, but they still held their own. This time it's everyone.
Yeah,
everyone got COVID. So I think just between all of that, everything has been more emotionally exhausting than anything else. And this comes from someone who says, I don't let sports ruin my day, which I don't. I still don't, but I'm still exhausted.
Yeah, it is exhausting. So we're going to get into it. We have an entire Browns-themed episode tonight, of course, because we know a lot of our listeners are feeling this exact same way. It is also Christmas week, so we have a little festive song to debut this evening. If you guys remember, 2 years ago, 2019, the Freddie Kitchens era, it was around the same time we were licking our wounds a little bit, unsure of what the future looked like, and we created our own 12 days of Browns Christmas. So look forward to that. Hopefully that makes you guys laugh, if anything, because what do we do at this point? Because last night, the Browns fell to the Raiders in heartbreaking fashion, 16-14 on Monday. Early evening football. It was not Monday night football. It was in the early evening, dinner time, if you will. They had 18 guys on the COVID list, along with head coach Kevin Stefanski. As one could expect, it was not pretty. The offense scored 14 points in the second half to come back and put them in a position to win, but they failed to convert a first down to ice the game, falling short on a Nick Chubb run of 3rd-and-3. Special teams left a critical 3 points on the board going into halftime. A missed field goal that could have been a determining factor to win the game. And then the defense that held Derek Carr and company to 13 points the entire game get a crucial interception with just over 2 minutes left in the game, but could not get off the field when it mattered the most, allowing a Raiders team with no timeouts to march down the field to get into a field goal position that would ultimately end the game. And that's all she wrote, guys. Kind of. Are we done? You guys wanted to stop after this?
Yep, we're good. Let's go. Podcast over. We're done.
So I have to ask you guys, because we've all been on Twitter as usual, and it's never easy to get on Twitter, even after the wins this year. But as a fan, is it easier to lose in blowout fashion versus the way that the Browns lost on that last second field goal? Any thoughts on that?
It's so much easier to win in blowout fashion.
Because let me tell you. Yeah, I prefer the Patriots game over last night.
That's what I was going to say. I felt like, you know, when they got blown out against the Patriots, it was almost kind of comical at the end because it was so bad. They got their ass kicked so badly that it was like, okay, like, whatever. Last night, what happened last night was you saw this decimated team take the field and they gave it their all. Like, I felt so bad for that defense last night.
Yeah.
Because they tried so hard. And you just wanted to see this team who had close to nothing. You just wanted to see them win. And they were in a position to do it. And at the last second, it just didn't. It was just taken from them. And that just broke. I said last night, the last time I felt this bad was when Corey Coleman dropped that pass.
Ugh.
That was the last time I felt this sad after a game, because it was just heartbreaking the way that everything played out last night.
Gut-wrenching. I mean, that was gut-wrenching.
Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a Disney finish for the Raiders.
Ugh, for the wrong team.
It was, because even in that last drive, they had an offensive hold that pushed them back 5 yards out of field goal range. It pushed them back into their own territory. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it was the following play where one of their running backs got the ball and literally three defenders not only missed him, but allowed him to skate through for an extra 5 or 6 yards and get out of bounds.
Yeah.
That to me, there are two defining moments in yesterday's loss that had it gone differently, the Browns would have won. It's obviously the missed field goal at the end of the first half. But even with that missed field goal, in that very last drive, if the defenders just tackled the guy in bounds or just noticed that he was doing a little bit of fancy footwork to get an extra 5 or 6 yards, which essentially negated that offensive hold penalty, that would have been it. They wouldn't have gotten into field goal range, and they would have been forced to go for it on a fourth down situation. Like that, those are the two moments in the game where if one of those moments were different, the Browns would have won.
Yeah, if you would have asked me in the first half how I felt, I was expecting like for it to not even be close to game. We were all live tweeting in our group chat, and it was just kind of like when that missed field goal happened right before the half, you know, I was kind of like ready to pack it up. Like, okay, we should just expect a loss at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they clawed their way back into this game and actually was leading in the fourth quarter, to me, I was like, oh no, they're going to go and get my hopes up. Like, this is exactly what was happening. In fact, like, the interception happened. And when you talk about a Disney movie, Meredith, like, that was setting up for a Disney movie, right? When you have 8 starters out, a million guys on the COVID list, a team that had no business being in this game, winning this game, it was our Cleveland Browns. You know, for once, I wanted to win a game that we had no business winning. Because how many times have we been on the receiving end of that, right? We've lost countless times to backup quarterbacks, to teams that should not be winning against our team. And it just felt like it was it for us. Like, it was going to happen. It was going to be a good-feeling story for the Browns and a game that actually mattered. And it felt that way. And then there was still 2 minutes left on the clock. There was just too much time left on the clock. And the Browns just could not get a first down, which, I mean, it's plagued them all season, right? These plays that matter, these third down conversions. The offense all year, regardless of who has been playing quarterback, regardless of who is on the field, they have not been able to convert when it matters the most. No. And that was gut-wrenching for me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's brutal because every clutch moment the Browns have failed. Ugh. That's it. And that's sucks. I think that's what is really exhausting about this whole season is that there have been so many moments like that, starting with the Kansas City game where the Browns have the ball in what could have been the very last play and they fail to get down the field to score a touchdown, which would have won the game. You know, it's like every single game. Except for the, like, crazy blowout ones, like the Bengals win or the win over the Texans. Like, every single game, it feels like there's been one defining moment where if we were in a Disney movie, the Browns would pull through and it would be like, Remember the Titans or some crap like that. But it's not. It's reality. And I don't like it. I don't like reality.
You know what's crazy? Last night we were talking and we were going over, like, the Browns' wins. There has only been one win that felt good this year. Yeah. One. So, like, you know, you... you could make an argument, like, Kansas City, okay, that was the first game. Like, things could have gone a little differently. It was disappointing, but it wasn't, like, you know, it didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth. But if you go through all the games, so, you know, the Lions loss, or the Lions win, we were all miserable after that one. Like, the quarterback was so miserable after that win.
You called a win a loss.
He wouldn't, I know. He wouldn't even talk to the media afterwards. He was like, no, I can't even face the media after a win. And, you know, right. You go, like, look against Chicago. People weren't happy with that one. You look against the Texans. People weren't happy with that one. It's just one after another. And the only one that felt good, the only time I had fun watching the Browns this year was watching them play the Bengals. That's it.
Right. So, okay. So let's go through this season so far. So week one, lost to the Chiefs 33-29. We were still feeling positive.
Moral victory.
Right. Week two, win over the Texans 31-21. That one made me sad because Tyrod Taylor went out and the Browns beat the Texans backup.
Well, Baker Mayfield also got injured in that game, which was pretty pivotal.
Right. So the following week, win over the Bears 26-6. Week after, win over the Vikings 14-7. We were all miserable after that game, and I can't remember why, but we were.
Because the miserable. Offense.
Just the offense.
Let's see. Lost to the Chargers 47-42. I think that one sucked because it was such a high scoring game and it was one of those whoever had the ball last was the one who was going to win, and it was the Chargers.
Can we pause there for a minute? Because I got my head ripped off on Twitter, metaphorically, of course.
Because... No, physically, your head is currently not attached to your body.
I was being attacked because it was that game specifically, and I will never forget this moment. I was so mad at the offense because they couldn't get a first down. And I know that the defense gave up a million gajillion points in that game. But I was most mad at the offense because all they needed to do was get a first down and that game was over. And I remember how many people attacked me for saying that. And here we are in week 15 being plagued by the same issues that we had at the beginning of the season.
All right, so week six, lost to the Cardinals 37-14.
That one was really bad.
Baker Mayfield gets beat by a quarterback who's shorter than he is.
Also gets re-injured, correct?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. Yep. Week seven, I don't know where my notes from the season have gone, so I think I keep trashing them after each of the games. Win over the Broncos in week seven, 17-14.
Case Keenum season!
Yeah, right. Which, I mean, again, like, that one was fine, but it still wasn't, like, it wasn't super fun to
It didn't
watch.
Feel good. It didn't feel good.
We were missing pieces. It was just, like, okay, let's just get through this game and, you know, get to the next one.
Following Halloween, week 8.
Halloween Massacre.
15-10, lost to the Steelers. Week 9, the only time we felt good all season.
Yes, this is it.
41-16, went over the Bengals just to be brought back down to earth the following week with a 45-7 loss to the Patriots. And then it was the 13-10 win over the Lions, 16-10 loss to the Ravens, bye week, win over the Ravens, and then lost to the Raiders last night. So that has been our season so
one
far.
Game. One game of smiling. Yeah.
And, well, like, even week one, we were feeling okay. So it's, like, one and a half games of smiling.
Yeah, because everything's new in the relationship, right? It's, like, the beginning of a
honeymoon
season.
Honeymoon phase.
Yeah, honeymoon phase. Like, you're still, like, this is normal. We still feel good about things. And then you just start to uncover shit.
I really feel like,
and you start to question everything.
The red flags start to pop up.
Exactly,
like, your friends are telling you, like, hey, That thing that he said to you that you're brushing off and saying is no big deal, we're not actually sure it's not a big deal. You might need to reevaluate the way your boyfriend talks to you.
Yeah. So here we are. So do you guys feel like last night's game, in a way, is a microcosm of how the entire season has played out? Like, should we be as disappointed in this loss as we are?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I really do. Because, like, I know that it was third stringers and practice guys, and they literally plucked Dustin Colquitt off the street, and they probably only signed him because they're like, oh, we know your brother. Hey, come play for us. We need you.
We know your brother. We have a good relationship with family.
It's like, hey, I remember your brother. We went to high school together. We need a kicker. Can you do that? I know that we were down to literal like guys from the street in last night's game, but even so, there were still a lot of critical pieces that were still there, like Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett, and we could have and should have expected big things from Dearness Johnson. And we got John Johnson III back off the COVID list. Now, granted, we lost to Javion Clowney, which was not great. Like, I know delaying the game, the NFL was trying to be fair for the three teams that had massive COVID outbreaks, but it didn't really help the Browns because Baker Mayfield didn't make it off the COVID list in time. Same thing with the Washington football team right now. We're recording this on Tuesday night, and Washington football is playing without Tyler Heinicke. You know, so it's... it's not like it helped the Browns in the, like, it helped in the short term, but it wasn't a long enough delay to get anyone back. But there were still key pieces on the field that were good and powerful and should have been enough. And quite frankly, even with Nick Mullins, the offense did not look that different than it did when it was Baker Mayfield, when it was Case Keenum. Like, there's a
lot... Uh-oh, Meredith. Uh-oh, they're gonna come for you.
Whatever, I don't give a shit. Okay, so I made a joke last night on Twitter about David Njoku being the Browns' best receiver.
Which is... it's true. That's not a joke. Yeah, that's 100% true.
That is actually just a fact.
There's not a receiver on that team who could have made that catch. Granted, he was out, but, like, still you're not
but
wrong.
But also, he is leading the team in receptions right now. Like, even if it is a joke, there's facts to back it up. Like, facts don't care about your feelings. So the game is over, and I'm getting, like, angry tweet after angry tweet after angry tweet from the same dude over and over and over again, and he's like he had to have been going back in my timeline and just like responding to every tweet that I sent out during the game, and he told me to shut up about David Njoku, and he was like, this is sad, this is not good. I'm like, get over it, I don't care. Like, who are you? I don't know you, and I don't care about you, so leave me alone and get out of my mentions. So this is not an indictment on Baker Mayfield, because if you remember in the off season, we were saying the same thing of, you know, it's not going to be a good thing if we lose Baker Mayfield. However, we have enough confidence in Kevin Stefanski and we have enough confidence in this offense that Case Keenum can slip in and hold down the fort until Baker Mayfield gets back. And that's exactly what happened with Nick Mullins last night. He held down the fort as best he could.
Yeah, he was fine.
Given the circumstances. And I think that's a testament to the offense and the talent that's on the field. But, like, yeah, the it didn't really look that much different with Nick Mullins under center than it did with Baker Mayfield.
I think the only reason... So it was more the situation they were in last night where... it was almost a must-win game just to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yes.
And when you're stripped of a lot of important pieces, including your coach, you go into this game and you're like, as a fan, you're just like, all right. I mean, this one's for all the marbles. Like, I guess...
against the Raiders.
This is it. Like, I wouldn't have been disappointed. I wouldn't have been as disappointed if it didn't end the way that it did. I think that fans were, they're in the right for being disappointed because, again, this was as close to a must-win game as you can get. Now they're in a position where they have to win out. They have to even have a chance at making the playoffs. And you're asking a lot because, you know, on Saturday, so they're on short rest. On Saturday, they have to go into Lambeau and play the Packers. And that's not an easy task. That's a game that a lot of people assume that they would lose anyway. And now you can't. Like, you cannot do that. So, and you know, it's just, that's what the AFC North is this year. That's kind of what the NFL is this year. Well, everyone's up and down, and you can't count on anyone. We still don't know if there's any really good teams in this league. Like, it's right. Just,
well,
it's
if you
chaos.
Want something to make you feel a little bit better and have a sliver of positivity. I think I was looking at, everyone has been throwing 538 stats in my face all day, which is fine. I don't mind it. I think the Browns can still conceivably lose to the Packers and then win against the Steelers, win against the Bengals, and get into the playoffs either through the wild card or even possibly winning the AFC North. I think it was, if Kansas City can win against the Steelers, and who else? I think they play the Ravens. Like if Kansas City can beat those two teams, and then the Browns can win the rest of their divisional games, they actually have, it's albeit slim, there is a possibility that they can win the AFC North, and that puts them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just they made it a lot more difficult. And not even them. I can't even say that because it again. I'm one of those people that looks at situations, okay, like, this is COVID. This isn't the Cleveland Browns' fault. This is COVID. This is what happens when there's an outbreak. You're out a lot of pieces. So you go in, you try as hard as you can, you do whatever you can. Nick Mullins was as good as we could have expected him to be, I think. I don't have any problems with how he played. Nick Chubb had a slow start, but he really picked it up in the second half. That's what they needed. We'll talk about the play calling. I see that on the sheet, yeah. So we'll get into that. But it's a lot harder to, I think after last night's loss, their playoff chances dropped to like in the 20s maybe. Yeah. So they went from first place to last place just like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's still a chance.
Hold that thought, guys, because I want to break really quick to just talk about a podcast on the network called Knuckleheads. Knuckleheads is a podcast that brings you some of the best NBA players, past and present, to have totally unguarded conversations about sports, culture, and basketball nostalgia. The hosts are former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. This is the seventh season of doing the podcast, and guests have included Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Sue Bird, and DeMar DeRozan. NBA veterans are lifelong friends and bona fide truth tellers. Listen as they invite special guests, high-profile athletes, musicians, and entertainers to get brutally honest about everything from current events to untold stories from the golden era of sports and culture. Named for the on-court celebration they made wildly popular, this unfiltered, hilarious, and surprising podcast is like playing NBA 2K with no fouls. Go ahead and give those guys a listen and let us know what you think. But we'll get back into the Browns chatter. So you guys just ultimately think that, like, do you think that the expectations were all at all too high going into the Raiders game? Because the way that I was, the impression that I got from fans, and this is obviously just being on the internet, you know, Twitter, Reddit, whatever, even listening to local radio stations, when the game got pushed back to Monday, I felt like everyone just assumed that the game was a lock at that point in time. And I still was just very uneasy about, you know, trotting out a quarterback who, yes, he's been on the practice squad, but they didn't have a chance to practice last week because of the COVID outbreak. They truly did not have time to be together and to throw passes to his receivers that he's never thrown to. And then Joel Bitonio, the day before the game, has to change positions on the O-line because of James Hudson testing positive. I mean, there were just so many things out of the ordinary that happened to this team that, you know, I think we forgot, and it was easy to forget, that the guys that you're playing against are professional NFL players as well, even though they've had a rough go in this season. But they still had their number one quarterback, right? Like, that's their first stringer, Derek Carr. He can win football games. And I was just very surprised that, like, when I was reading tweets after the first half of how many people were, like, so mad about, like, the offense and the defense, and the play calling kept coming up. And our play caller, by the way, was sitting on his couch in the basement.
No, like, they were calling him out by name.
Yeah.
Right.
They were throwing him under the bus last night. And I saw it so many times that I finally commented on something. I was like, He's not even there.
I know.
You're talking about, oh, Kevin Stefanski got him figured out. He's going to be on the hot seat next year. Like, okay, number one, you can't, with new coaches, everyone gets figured out at some point. Okay. Right. Everyone's schemes get figured out at some point. This is a natural process. You can't just dump everyone because their schemes get figured out. You have to trust them enough to say, okay, they've maybe figured you out. Time to adjust. And Kevin Stefanski's a smart guy. Guess what, guys? He's probably going to adjust, but he's not going to be able to do that if you want to can everyone every time there's like a speed bump here.
He's not going to be able to do that from the couch.
Right.
Right.
So I feel like the expectations were low going into the game because it was the third stringers. But then I think the minute the game kicked off, people forgot that it was practice squad guys. And then I think they also changed drastically when the Browns were able to get up 14-13. So I think that was the point. And then being able to hold the Raiders off after that, I think that was the point where we're like, oh my God, I think we can actually do this. We might actually be able to pull this off. And then it didn't happen. So I think expectations change by the minute with this team. But also speaking, you brought up Joel Bitonio, and I really want to give him flowers because he just killed it at left tackle.
He did.
Like, he hasn't played that position in like 2 decades, and it looked like he'd been practicing it all season. So, like, we need to give Joel Bitonio his flowers for just being such a value on the field.
Well, he's earning his paycheck. But
right.
I just had to laugh because my husband, after the first half, decides he's going to start putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. You know, just like so calm, like putting together a puzzle. I'm sitting on the couch, you know, and I texted you guys. I'm like, okay, the sweats are coming. Like, as we started to kind of claw our way back into the game, like palms got sweaty. My knees were weak. Armpits were sweaty. And so my husband's like still putting the puzzle together, but like obviously he's like half paying attention because he can see the TV from his view. And every time like a play was made that the Browns were a part of, they'd announce a name and he'd be like, who? Who's that guy?
Oh my God.
And I was just laughing because I'm like, it's so true. Like all of these people that these announcers are saying, it's like we've never heard them at all season because they haven't had to do anything these 2 weeks. Like they weren't even dressing before this game.
Yes.
So it was just a very odd moment to witness. But going back to the play calling, there was someone that I saw on Twitter that probably like responded to every media member talking about the conservative game plan and the play calling and all this stuff. And I was just, finally I responded and I was like, I don't know if play calling in this particular game is the hill you want to die on. This is the third string quarterback who literally didn't have a chance to practice with the team. He's never thrown to the receivers and tight ends that he's throwing to tonight. The head play caller is actually sitting on the couch in the basement. I don't understand how you want to be mad at the play calling. And specifically, you guys, I think this was the icing on the cake for a lot of these people complaining about the play calling. The 3rd and 3 call with, you know, 2 minutes left in the game. 3 Nick Chubb runs in a row. And he got stuffed at the line. People were mad specifically about that play call. Can I ask you guys a question?
Go for it.
Uh-oh.
How many times have we seen and heard from all of the fan bases, why is Nick Chubb not getting the ball? He's our best player on the field.
Impression is spot on.
That was Bob Bunch of Numbers. Hang on, let me take a call from Bob Bunch of Numbers.
Bob Bunch of Numbers on a cell phone.
Nick Mullins was hot that entire fourth quarter.
First time, first time caller, long time listener.
Imagine
I'm going to say something really shitty
meltdown.
And then hang up and listen.
Imagine the meltdown if Nick Mullins would have thrown an interception
exactly.
in that moment.
Oh my God.
Which is kind of like, you know, it's possible for a third string quarterback to feel that pressure. And like, that was a real possibility. I'm not super mad at the play calling. I'm just not. No. I think that they did what they could with what they had.
Yes.
It's really that simple.
Can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit, you guys. My favorite saying.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm sure the miserable Browns fans that didn't know how to handle winning are thriving right now.
Oh, like, absolutely.
This is Bob Bunch of Numbers element, man.
This is their Christmas.
You are so right.
This is them like winning the Powerball lottery for $300 billion.
Yeah, they walked in. You know that gif of Vince McMahon walking down the catwalk, like, oh, yeah, with his chest pumped out, yeah, looking around, like, that's them this morning. They could not get enough. They're losing in heartbreaking fashion last night.
They've literally never been happier in their entire life except for the 0-16 season.
I hate that you're right. But you know, these are the same fans that are like celebrating this loss that are also like complaining about the play calling.
Even Llama's crying in the background. I don't know if you can hear it. She's like, no, I read your tweets, Mom. Like,
it's been rough on everyone today.
I know.
It really has been. Did you guys see that Baker Mayfield was live tweeting during the game too? Like, yes. Wasn't that just bizarre?
It was fun and funny at the same time, but it also kind of sucked. Like, I really feel like Baker should have taken a note out of Stefanski's book and just turned off of his phone and put it in another room. Locked him. Instead of telling Emily to go to the basement, he should have gone to the basement himself.
I thought that was like funny. Watch
by himself. I mean, it was.
I liked that part.
It was funny, but like, he should have followed the leader on that one and done what his coach does, which is lock yourself in the basement, put your phone away, and just watch the game in the dark and cry.
It feels like we're seeing a lot of not following the leader this season.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a great point, Brittany.
I think one of the things that's so upsetting about this year is that we thought that they finally got it right. And like, I still believe, 100%, I still believe in Barry and Stefanski. But we thought that one of the dynamics that would change is the level of respect. Is that the right word? That they would, you know, sort of follow their lead. And you see these mature, calm, you know, Kevin Stefanski probably doesn't even know, like, what Twitter is, really. Because he doesn't care. I thought that would sort of be contagious in a way. And these players would sort of look up to these people and be like, you know, this is what coach does, sort of thing. And that has not happened the way that I thought it would.
Well, it was for a while. Like, there was a period during the preseason and in the beginning of the season where if you took out just, like, the voices, like, if it was just a computerized voice, if you looked at the script between what Kevin Stefanski was saying in his press conferences and what Baker Mayfield was saying in his press conferences, they were almost interchangeable. Like, Baker Mayfield's press conferences for the first part of the year were like Kevin Stefanski Jr., you know?
And what happened?
I don't know.
Like, that Lions game was just shocking.
Right. And that, at some point, that no longer became the case. And that kind of feels like, I don't know, maybe some kind of schism. I have no idea. But the minute Baker Mayfield's press conferences were no longer feeling like a Kevin Stefanski coached press conference, it felt like that's the point where things started to fall apart, you know? And then last night, instead of concentrating on the game, Baker Mayfield is live tweeting along with all of us, and he was responding to fans too, which is fine. He can do whatever he wants, but I don't know. I just feel like he would have been better off if he had followed Kevin Stefanski's lead on the way he viewed the game. But I don't know. Maybe that's overstepping my bounds and, like, talking about how someone else should carry themselves. I don't know. I'm talking through my emotions right now. So I don't even, I'm Michael Scott, where I start a sentence and I don't know where it's going.
No, here's my thing. Social media in general is not a great place to be. It's just not.
No.
So if I were these people, I just wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing there for me if I'm in that position. If I'm in a position where I'm a public figure, you know, I'm famous, I'm a professional athlete, whatever it is. If I'm in those positions, I don't need to see the toxicity of social media anymore. Like, I don't need to see all the nasty things people are saying. I don't, for what? Well, how does it benefit your life to even get on and see this stuff? It doesn't benefit our life. We see enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, at some point, because it seems like it, this season especially, we've seen a lot of players go back at fans. We've seen a lot of, and I'm not even saying, you know, they're people too understood. I just don't know that I would be even interested in, actually, I do know that I would not be interested in looking at what people say. Because, and it's not exclusive to Cleveland. I see, before we started recording, I saw a tweet that said, you know, something along the lines of, why do fans think it's a good idea to make these players' lives hell? Don't they know that we'll never get a free agent, blah, blah, blah. Number one, it's a business. Like, players will go anywhere for the right price, period. It's mm-hmm. That's not a problem. Number two, like, complaining on Twitter is not making people's lives hell. And if it is, like, you just take this too seriously. Like, I wish my biggest problem was people saying mean things about me on the internet. Number two. And then number three, this is not exclusive to Cleveland. Like, this is everywhere. I don't know if you've looked around America lately, but everyone's level of insane over the past probably year has just reached new levels. And this is not just Cleveland-based. People are kind of assholes. And the best thing you could do is just block them so you don't have to engage with them. That's it. That's probably the only thing you can do to keep your own sanity.
Yeah. Right. Every football market. And I'm going to expand it beyond football. I'm going to say every professional sports team in America, if they're not doing well, their fan bases are going to be angry about it and tweet angry things on the internet about it. It's not unique to Cleveland.
No.
You know, so this idea that angry people on the internet are going to keep free agents from coming here is just wild.
This is insane. And
so off base.
Yeah, we're not that important.
No. You know what? I think, Bree, you nailed it right on the head right there. I think that's exactly what it is that I think people, especially when they get external validation for the things they say, aka likes and retweets, they think they're more important than they are. Epiphany because of what you just said, Brie. That's really what it is. Everyone thinks that what they say is the most important thing in the world, and then when they get a ton of likes and retweets on it, their ego gets conflated and their sense of self-worth gets conflated, when in reality, you know, they're just like Joe Mortgage Broker.
Yeah, which is really sad,
bunch
though,
of numbers.
When you think about it, like, in all seriousness, because professional, like, going back to Baker, like, live tweeting during the game, like, whatever. I was totally fine with it. In fact, like, how fun would it have been to, like, see his reaction had the Browns pulled that off? You know, like,
we're
just in such a
himself weird
time in general with COVID. And, like, that would have been, like, a really cool moment to go back and, like, think about. But off of that, like, social media just in general, like, to need to feel validated by likes and retweets is a real thing. Like, that is a real thing that a lot of people, like, grapple with. And a lot of influencers, if you will, like, that's their livelihood. So, you know, it becomes an identity. And it's validating when people are liking and retweeting and commenting. But to what extent? And then you add on, like, as a professional athlete or famous person in general, you know, the amount of visibility that they have just in general. I mean, they have millions, thousands of followers, right? Mm. So they're already validated in that sense of, like, all these people follow me, like, look at me, everything that I say, you know, is going to be seen around the world. It could make news just based on, like, things that I tweet out or pictures that I post or whatnot. And that's just a really, I guess, scary place to be in, because I do think maybe some of these athletes too, like, they think that they're also more important than they really are. And I'm saying that, like, I'm not saying anyone specifically on this Browns team at all. Like, I don't know them personally. I have no idea who they are. But I do think it's easy for them, because of their likability or their reach, that they already feel, like, entitled to certain things, or being allowed to say certain things, or acting a certain way, just based on who they are, how many followers they have. I don't know. I could just be, like, making this all up, but...
No, you're absolutely right.
It feels, like sports fan, not just Browns fandom, but just sports fandom in general, would be so much more fun if nobody had Twitter and it just was among group chats.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
because even with how miserable that game was last night, and even though I was technically at work, you know, I was still able to keep up with our group chat,
right.
And that was the most enjoyable part of the night for me, was being able to talk with you guys and Jenna and Angie throughout the game.
Yeah, yes. And it's, like, also sick and twisted, though, that these people that, like, seek this validation, they do it in ways that are a lot of times not nice. Like, they're callous, they're toxic. They want responses and interaction, regardless of how they get it. And so when these athletes, like, subtweet or respond or quote tweet, like, these people get off on that. Like, that's exactly what they want.
Right.
Yeah. Like, negative, they want to be known as trolls. They want you to block more, them. Yeah. Like, this is, like, and that's, like, just so twisted. But, like, I don't know. I think for us, like, we tweet a lot. Like, we tweet a lot about our thoughts, our feelings, whatever. Like, we're not doing it to get likes or retweets necessarily. Like, these are truly our own personal thoughts. Like, I don't need anyone to validate my opinion or respond to me. Like, I don't know. It's just such a weird... Brown's Twitter specifically has been in such a weird spot over these last couple of years.
It's been hell. I think the thing that bothers me the most is when, you know, I see... I'm trying to figure out the nicest way to say this.
Go ahead. Are you talking about the narrative that fans aren't allowed to be disappointed or upset?
Well, yeah. So there seems to be this sense of entitlement that is like, well, how dare you be mean? How dare you not be kind? And it's like, you see it from these people who aren't in the depths of this, where they don't see what happens every day to regular people. And it's like, we've been dealing with this for years, of
decades,
people just being jerks and assholes and personal attacks and attacking loved ones.
Yeah.
This is what has been going, but how dare you do that to us?
Yeah.
Like, that's what pisses me off. It's not like, you know, oh, well, everyone should be nice. No, it's them saying, how could you be so mean to us?
Yeah.
Like, you're not special. They're mean to everyone, I promise you.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They are just on there to be mean. It's not just you. But it doesn't matter until they're being mean to us.
I said this to you guys in our group chat, and I'll say it again here. If you want to see a toxic fan base and just toxic on social media, just Twitter search Justin Fuente's name, because I am telling you, Hokie fans, including myself, I tried to be civil because I am a member of the media, but I have tweeted some not very nice things about Justin Fuente, and just, you guys don't see it because you don't follow, but I do have, like, a section of Hokie Twitter that I'm still a part of, and I still interact with, and we still follow each other, and just Hokie message boards, Hokie Twitter, just the fan base during the Justin Fuente era. Oh my God, it makes Browns Twitter look like child's play. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. And I actually had an old coworker that got lambasted on a Clemson message board like 5 years ago just because he said Krispy Kreme was better than Dunkin' Donuts or something, or maybe it was the other way around. I forget, but there's a donut cult in South Carolina, and it's a chain one too. I think it's Krispy Kreme. And if you insult their Krispy Kreme donuts, like, It was insane. It got to the point where there were articles literally written about my coworker for his donut takes. And it was people on a message board for Clemson University. So just every fan base has its moments. It's not just the Browns fan base and the people who get upset that the Browns fan base is bad. It's, I would say it's on par with other passionate fan bases. That's really my opinion on it.
Well, and just to clarify something for a minute here too, what Brittany is talking about is very different than going on Twitter and venting about a football loss, right?
Right.
What I was seeing was people being upset, being disappointed in, you know, the loss, and rightfully so. Like, people are allowed to feel however they want to feel. Like, you can't tell someone how to feel and how to react. I didn't see anything that was vile or like name calling or whatever.
No personal attacks at all. Not that I could see.
I have been called an abusive mother on this app because someone doesn't like me. That is very different than saying Chase McLaughlin should have made his field goal. Should have made the field goal. That's what lost us the game. Very, very different. And I just think that's very important to say because Brittany's right. Like, at the end of the day, it's football. And the people have been fans of this football team for a lifetime. They've experienced way more downs than they have ups. And we, on this show, and a lot of fans feel the same way. We are very appreciative to have had the last two seasons that we have had. Even at sitting here at 7-7 and that heartbreaking loss. Like, I still am very happy that we've gotten to witness what we've gotten to witness. Because, yes, times have been worse. But it doesn't mean we're not allowed to be mad about losses still. It doesn't mean that we can't be upset. Like, that was a roller coaster of emotions to go through yesterday. And we are a passionate fan base.
Right.
But so there was nothing, like, no one was attacking anyone.
No personal attacks, right. So I especially think that in the same vein of Browns fans being upset, I think that Browns fans are allowed to be upset, even more upset at 7-7 now, because one of the takes that I hear a lot from callers on the radio is, oh, we would have killed for a 7-7, like being at 500 this time a few years ago. And I'm sitting there thinking, but it's not a few years ago. The fact that the Browns had a crucial win against the Steelers in week 16, 17, whatever, last year, and then beat them again the following week in the playoffs. Not only was that a cultural reset for this team, it was an expectations reset for this team. So every fan, regardless of how long you've been a fan of this team, regardless of how many ups and downs, and the fact that there's been more downs than ups, the fact that this team has been really difficult to watch for the last 20 years. Last year, they won a playoff game they won a crucial game against the Steelers and then won against the Steelers again in the playoffs the following week. That is an expectations reset. So for the fans who are upset at the loss last night and they are upset at being 500 at this point in the season when we probably expected them to have at least 10 wins by this point, be upset and be upset about it because you've earned the right to be upset because of how things changed.
It's so annoying when people who aren't or haven't been Browns fans come in here and they're like, well, this is how you should fan. You should always be like, what are you doing? How could you not kiss these people's asses all the time? And it's like, you're new here. You clearly don't know how this works. Just let us regular poor people get on the internet and say, I should have made that field goal. It's not a big deal.
Right.
If you don't like it, then just block people. I blocked 4 people today. Just do it. It's not hard. Hit that block. You see something, you're like, block, done. Never have to see this person again. That's it. But don't come in here into this world that you're new to and just be like preaching how we should be when it's like, who are you to tell us how to be fans or how to react or how to feel? I agree that people should not base their happiness on football games. Like, if that's your life, if that's your only source of happiness, probably something not right. You might want to like look into that, but like, Don't come in here preaching to Browns fans how to be a Browns fan. We don't like that, and we're not going to respond to it well. You don't know us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think, too, Brittany gave good advice. Don't get on social media. Like, maybe don't. If it's going to impact you that much and your feelings are going to get hurt if someone is complaining about someone dropping a pass or someone missing a field goal, then, like, maybe it's best to turn off your social media for the season. Because here's the thing. If that upsets you, like, the opposite could also happen, where you could get too high on yourself reading good things about you. Like, you know, like, it could go both ways. I don't know if there's a happy medium that exists on social media. There really isn't. I mean, listen, we know that that's the case. It doesn't exist. There's no happy medium.
No. That's not what this is.
Nope.
I think I stayed off of Twitter the better part of today, you know, outside of getting on for work. And when I do that, I'll get on one of my work accounts. But on my personal Twitter today, I think I maybe have scrolled through my timeline once or twice for a few minutes. And that's exactly part of it. It's not that football ruined my day or I'm upset with how people are being a fan. It's just, I didn't feel like reading the negativity. I just didn't. So I just didn't go on Twitter. I was on Instagram and tagging people trying to win stuff because it's giveaway season. I still haven't won anything. But I'm just like going through Instagram, like tagging people on bullshit saying, hey, maybe we'll both win a prize here. So that was my social media activity for today.
Yeah. I mean, last week, I was thinking about this, Brittany. You know, we were in our happy state and we had no idea what was coming the days following after our happy state. But Brittany was eating nachos and listening to football scores. It's like all she wanted in life.
Yeah, and it's all so simple.
Last night I was like, my coping mechanism is to like take a nice hot bubble bath. And I was like, I'm going to take a snack with me because I needed to eat my feelings a little bit. I got a bag of Doritos, and I'm, like, enjoying my bubble bath. I freaking dropped my Doritos in the bathtub.
No! Oh, no. Man down.
Like, I'm going to pack it up for the night. Like, I'm just, man I'm down. Done. I'm done with this tonight.
Men overboard.
Someone on Twitter told me that I would have fit right in with the Browns team with all my drops. Yeah, that was, I mean, that made me laugh. I'm like, I'm
that was
laugh
that's
that.
Good. That was good. That's funny.
Oh man. Anything else you guys want to cover in regards to the game? The Browns. I mean, the Browns play the Packers on Christmas Day.
Oh god.
3:30. Nothing like a Christmas Day game to either ruin our Christmas or make us really happy. You guys think there's any shot that we can win against Aaron Rodgers? I hate Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
So the only way I think the Browns win is because I'm pretty sure the Packers have already clinched their playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Is if Aaron Rodgers is like, you know what? We'll throw you a pity win. You guys are down in the dumps right now, and we could run up the score 62-0 on you, but we're not going to. We're going to let you have this one. Here you go, little buddy. You get to have this. Like I said, no, this is fantasy land.
Oh, okay. We're but in fantasy is, land. Got it.
No. I'm saying that this is probably the only way that the Browns beat the Packers is if Aaron Rodgers goes from beginning of the movie Grinch to end of the movie Grinch, where his heart grows 3 sizes and decides to take pity on the Browns and let them win.
Brittany, what about you? Is there any hope for Saturday?
Yeah, I think there's hope.
There's always hope.
I hope they win Saturday.
It's as good as it's gonna get.
This was one of the 3 losses that I predicted at the beginning of the season. So,
right.
Whatever, guys. Just.
It could happen.
Browns, you broke Brittany.
They did.
They broke her.
I'm done.
I know. I mean, I guess all we can do is hope for the best, right? Maybe there'll be a Christmas miracle.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
So, I'll ask you guys this because I don't celebrate Christmas, so it doesn't really make a difference to me either way. Do you like the fact that the Browns are playing on Christmas?
I do.
Yeah. I was really happy at the beginning of the season. I think right now I'm kind of a little bit indifferent, but selfishly, I leave on Saturday, so I'm happy that I get to watch them, and I'm not going to be flying. So, yes. Yeah. The answer is yes.
I was curious about that because I know that the NFL can sometimes be background noise on Thanksgiving, but it's also nice to have something on. I'll tell you what, growing up, having the NBA on Christmas Day was such a blessing.
I loved that.
Oh my God, it's such a blessing if you don't celebrate Christmas, because everything is closed. Every channel either has like fireplaces, just fireplaces, or It's a Wonderful Life on repeat.
Fireplaces.
So yeah, like you turn on like the SEC channel every day.
It pops up on Netflix now for things I might like. I'm like, why would you think I'd like that? I mean, maybe I would, but how would you know?
You just turn it on and it's just a fireplace. Like, that's what it is. But yeah, so having, even though I haven't been the biggest basketball fan my entire life, I still enjoy it. So just having the NBA on Christmas Day was such a blessing. So now that the NFL looks like they're starting to try and take over Christmas Day, I like that those games are on, because it gives you something to watch. For me, it gives me something to do because I'll be working. So I'm glad that I actually have something to do on Saturday. It'll be great. So I don't know. I was just curious from your guys' point of view, because I know you both celebrate Christmas and it's important to you guys. So
yeah, you're right. I always really enjoyed NBA on Christmas Day, to be honest with you. I remember growing up with that too. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. And we've had some good Cavs games on Christmas Day during the LeBron era. Those were some fun.
Right.
Fun
All those Cavs-Warriors games on Christmas Day, those were fun. Yeah. I loved those. Even before I lived in Cleveland and I wasn't really following the Cavaliers too terribly closely, I still loved those games.
Yeah, for me too. We don't, my family, like, we don't typically watch Browns games together. Everyone's always like doing their own things on Sundays or whenever they play, you know, in the night game. So it'll be nice because they're actually we're all going to be together for Christmas anyway, so we'll get to enjoy a Browns game all together, which we'll see how that goes.
Yay. Hopefully the elf brings a Christmas miracle.
That's right. Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. Little dude was doing all the Browns cheers yesterday.
Did any Browns fan ever take Brownie the Elf to do Elf on the Shelf? I feel like that would have been a fun idea.
We have a Browns-themed elf.
He should. Let's not talk any more about it. Let's patent it.
That's right. I know.
Oh my God. I might have to delete this from the podcast.
The TikTok. They did a TikTok last year of him like all around the bleachers, like elf. They did something with it last year on their like TikTok
account. There should
be an
Elfie on the Shelfie.
Yeah. They did something like that. But anyway.
Yeah. I know. Patent pending.
There you go.
Can't steal our ideas.
All right, well.
We have a song to sing, don't we?
We do. We? You guys are going to make me sing it.
By we mean Bree.
Bree has a song to sing.
And not a great singer. Okay, so if you guys have been following us, listening to us for the last couple of years, we launched right around this time The 12 Days of Christmas is a classic, right? Well, we made a Cleveland Brown version because we were so disappointed 2 years ago with how things were going that we had enough content to create our own 12 Days of Browns Christmas. And last year, I think we just skipped this whole entire thing because the Browns had a winning season and we were happy. But this year,
there was nothing. It was just songs. There was nothing.
Yeah, we were really happy. We were just singing the normal Christmas songs. But after that loss last night, we all felt very creative, and we came up with the 2021 version of the 12 Days of Browns Christmas. So we're going to debut it. I'm going to start at 12. I'm not going to sing this whole thing in its entirety, starting at 1 and going. No, I can't do the latter, you guys.
You should.
I can't. I'm starting at 12, and I'm going down. Okay, so.
On the 12 Days of Christmas, the Browns gave to me.
12, third down failures, 11, test for COVID, 10, yards for holding, 9, miles, no calls, 8, wives a-crying, 7, total winning, 6, field goals missing, 5, ugly wins, 4, Landry catches, 3, tight end sets, 2, Nick Chubb screens, and a 12 man on the field penalty. Thank you for joining in with me. I was almost out of breath. I need to practice my singing. Guys.
Oh, that was a good one.
The 12 Days of Brownsmith.
If you guys would like us to send you the lyrics, let us know. So you guys can be, you guys, everyone can go caroling around their neighborhood.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And sing this.
We'll put this out there. Yeah, you know, that is one good thing about our fandom. we are able to laugh at ourselves. We are able to do things like this. We are one of the most creative fan bases, in my opinion.
Is it the fan bases, or is it just the three of us?
I think it's our fan base. I see a lot of clever people. But yes, we lead the charge.
That's what we want. We love the creativeness out of Browns fans. And yes, we have seen it out of a bunch of other people. But 12 Days of Brownsmas, the return.
We got to patent that, too.
Part two. It's like Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song. This is part two.
Yes. You guys, I hope we don't have to do this again next year, though.
I hope if we don't.
Maybe, hopefully, if we do the 12 Days of Brownsmas next year, it'll be something positive. Like, two playoff wins and a Super Bowl ring.
There you go. There you go. Yes.
Manifesting. Five
Super Bowl rings. Eventually, we'll get there. Yeah. I'll be 80.
Manifesting. We're manifesting that Super Bowl ring eventually.
Oh, well, that wraps us up, you guys. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. As you know, you can find us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, however you listen to your podcast. We hope that you guys all have a Merry Christmas if you celebrate. If not, we hope that you guys can enjoy a Saturday of Browns football and hopefully coming up with a miracle win. We will catch you guys all next week.